Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Monday, July 22nd, 2024. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you had a great week and a great weekend. Sorry y'all are getting this on a Monday night. The main reasons being Saturday night, I was busy reviewing TNA. We had the Slammiversary post-show over on the Fightful main channel. It was myself, Joel Pearl, and Crest the Star. I really enjoyed doing that show, and I thought the actual TNA pay-per-view was great as well. So please check out that review if you missed it. After you listen to the show, of course, over on the main Fightful YouTube channel. But was busy watching TNA on Saturday. There was a lot of stuff going on Saturday I needed to catch up on. Jake Paul fought. We had a UFC show as well, and a bunch of indie shows, you know, throughout the week and weekend. So I had to catch up a bit yesterday on some of these shows that I missed, that I couldn't watch live. So watched some of those yesterday. I was supposed to be live at Action Wrestling yesterday as well. I was hyping that up all week on this show and on the Spotlight. But because of the weather, unfortunately, Action Wrestling had to cancel their show because they were going to run outdoors at a barbecue restaurant. But it's a great venue for wrestling. I've seen Deep South there. But unfortunately, because there was bad weather, weather wasn't even that bad, unfortunately. But because they wanted to be safe, they canceled it a little bit ahead of time. And that threw off a lot of what I was going to do for the show today because I was planning to talk a lot about Action Wrestling. I was planning to, you know, give you some thoughts being there live and, you know, give you some tips and maybe, you know, some things that I hear and, you know, some stuff about people I talk to at some of those shows, give you some, you know, maybe behind the scenes stuff, but unfortunately couldn't do any of that because the show got canceled. So, because of all these reasons, and of course my shoot job, couldn't record until after I was done with that today. And on top of that, I wanted to make sure to have the TNA spoilers for y'all right here. Cause once again, covered Slammiversary. I wanted to make sure to give you my thoughts on the spoilers for TNA. Joel Pearl was there live last night, got me the spoilers late last night, so we are where we are right now. Monday night, I've got all the results we're about to go over right now. Going to be results and spoilers, so thank you as always for listening. And on top of all that, we have a big match from our very own Sean Ross Sapp that I'm going to be talking about as well. So let's go through topics and jump into it. On this edition of the Weekender, we have results for Game Changer Wrestling. They had three shows over this past week. We have Believe Me, So High, and Don't Tell Me What to Do. Also have results for West Coast Pro, DPW, and Prestige. They had a joint show called Untouchable that was for free over on the West Coast Pro YouTube channel. So got my thoughts and results for that. Got spoilers for TNA. As I mentioned a moment ago, Joel Pearl was live in the house at TNA for the Impact Wrestling spoilers. So I will give you my thoughts on all of those today. And I will, of course, put a timestamp in the description. So when you're listening to this right here on FightfulSelect.com, you can just look below and in the description, just skip around if you want to remain spoiler-free. Also have results for NWA Power. We have the Crockett Cup Finals this week. So, you know, they taped those back in May, I believe. And so we've known the results for a long time, but we're finally all caught up and I will give you the results for the Crockett Cup and everything else that went on. We had a NWA World Heavyweight title match on that show as well. Got results for NXT Level Up, and I'll end today's show with some Ring of Honor Honor Club spoilers. So once again, we got three GCW shows, West Coast Pro DPW Prestige joint show, NWA Power, and NXT, all with results and spoilers for TNA Impact and ROH Honor Club. I'll make sure to have timestamps below for all the spoilers. Once again, you can remain spoiler-free if you want to. All right. So let's go into the first set of results here. We got GCW Believe Me 2024. This show took place out of Louisville, Kentucky, in the Headliners Music Hall. This was available, or is available rather, on Triller TV Plus. It was live, but it's also, of course, on demand as a part of their package. I'm not endorsed or sponsored to tell you that, to go sign up, but you know, I think you definitely get your money's worth if you're a GCW fan, as, you know, this week alone, we got three shows right now to talk about. But once again, this show, from Louisville, Kentucky, and the date on this is July the 18th. This was Thursday night. They had a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday show for GCW this weekend. First match we had was Shane Mercer over Nate Webb. The finish here was Webb goes up top and he has a chair in his hand. He does a moonsault off the top rope holding the chair. He basically misses Mercer, but that wasn't really meant to miss. But either way, the effect winds up being what it needs to, because when Nate Webb goes to cover Mercer, Mercer lifts him up kind of in like a World's Strongest Slam position. walks up to the second rope, does his moonsault and battery, his backflip while holding Nate Webb. 1, 2, 3, Shane Mercer gets the win. After that, we had Bobby Flacco over Facade. Finish here was Flacco hitting a top rope double stomp for the 1, 2, 3. Facade had Danny Moe in his corner for this one. It's always great to see Facade in GCW. I've always been a fan of his. I've talked a lot about how I saw Facade and Danny years ago, back in probably like 2017 or something, was the first time I saw them live. And they were wrestling for, I believe it was Freedom Pro Wrestling, in definitely in the Nashville Fairgrounds. And so I've always been a fan of theirs. And whether it's Facade or it's, you know, Vampiro, his alter ego on these, you know, backyard wrestling events, I've always been a fan of his work. He did some great extra work recently for the WWE as well. And, you know, congratulations to Bobby Flacco. This is his first GCW singles victory. So that's a guy that we talk about a lot here on the show because he does a lot of work in the Southeast. And, you know, great to see him branching out more and more, or, you know, across the world. He does a lot of traveling. He's a really interesting follow if you want to check his social media out. He does a lot of traveling, goes to different Airbnbs and stuff. So, interesting guy, getting over everywhere he's at. So, good stuff there. Flacco over Facade. After that, we had the JCW title on the line. Masha Slamovich defends and retains over Cole Radrick. Masha gets the win after Cole looked like he was going to go for Little Sebastian's Curse, but it was like kind of a modified version, maybe more of like his Cracker Jack bomb that he whips out every now and then. But anyway, he goes for that, and basically got Masha in like an air raid crash position. And Masha kind of powers out and reverses right into a White Knight driver and gets the win, 1, 2, 3. We'll talk more about Cole throughout the results, but, you know, obviously no shame in losing to Masha, obviously the current JCW world champion and one half of the TNA Impact Knockouts champions, or tag team TNA champions, I should say, for the Knockouts. But, you know, Cole's got that brass ring. I'm really interested to see when he picks his spot to cash that in, because, you know, we talk about it a lot, but is he going to do it, you know, for the world title? Is he going to do it for the tag titles along with Alec Price with the Garbage Daddies? He has not been teaming with Alec nearly as often lately. That's probably due more to, like, the scheduling of the two, because Alec also has, you know, a singles career as well, you know, that he's all over the place too. But it's just interesting. I've floated the idea recently that, as a fan of Cole Radrick, I think that something that'd be really cool is we got this ladder match coming up. It's going to be the triple threat for the GCW world title. It's going to be Mance Warner versus Blake Christian versus Joey Janela, and I believe it's going to be a ladder match. I honestly can't remember off the top of my head now. I know that's coming up at Homecoming, and it definitely is a triple threat. Regardless, that doesn't change the outcome here. Cole Radrick could cash in during that match, and he leaves as the GCW champion. But given all the stories between Blake Christian and Mance Warner and Joey Janela, I don't see that happening. It's like too much of a wild card. But it's something to keep our eye out for, because Cole's been taking a lot of L's lately. He gets his wins, you know, in there as well, but, you know, just something to keep your eye out on. I feel like they're kind of being kind of low-key with Cole Radrick right now, and he didn't have the best win-loss record this weekend for GCW, for sure. After that, we had Sam Stackhouse over Hunter Drake. The finish here was a J-Driller by Stackhouse for the 3 count. Up next, we had Effie over Sean Ross Sapp. I'll do my most in-depth breakdown of this match than anything else you'll hear on the show today. So, some of the highlights of this match: Sean comes out and basically he's doing his whole thing where he puts his hand in the air. He signifies, you know, the $5 thing for a Fightful Select, which I obviously appreciate and hopefully you guys do as well. You're listening to the show on Fightful Select, you know, of course. But it's funny to watch him come out there and be a heel and do the whole $5 thing. And he gets on the microphone and talks about how his friends Jeff Jarrett and Mance Warner basically said this was the best time to go after Effie because Effie's washed up now. And Sean does a good job setting this whole thing up. The actual match gets started, and they basically make it look like Sean has no chance. He's trying to, like, to do drop toe holds and stuff like that, and Effie just isn't going with it. Eventually, Sean, though, starts getting some momentum. Like, Effie gets reversed, and Sean hits him with a nice German suplex. Effie is trying to lure Sean in. He gets on his knees, does that whole thing where he tries to, you know, bait you in, and it works on Sean. Effie's on his knees. Sean walks towards him, and Effie headbutts him right in the dick. Effie also backs it up on Sean in the corner. A bunch of thrusts into Sean in the corner, followed up by a haluva kick. And then kind of like a one-legged tarantula in the corner, followed up by an actual kind of more traditional tarantula across the all the ropes, more Tajiri style right after that. So that was nice. Sean hit a nice drop toe hold on an open chair onto Mance, kind of Raven style. I appreciated that. And also had a nice impaler, the lifting DDT, which is also an ode to Mance Warner, who uses that as his finishing move right now as well. That gets a two count. So Sean almost puts away Effie with that impaler after the drop toe hold on the open chair. 1-2 and a kick out. Sean also hits a stroke, Jeff Jarrett style, onto an open chair. Gets a kick out at 2 from Effie. Effie eventually spears Sean through a door in the corner. Effie comes off the top rope with a whoopee cushion. Basically just if you don't know what the whoopee cushion is, Effie comes off the top rope and just sits right on Sean's chest. 1-2-3. This was very entertaining as far as I was concerned. It's funny because my dad, who has very minimal interest in what I'm doing as far as like wrestling coverage and stuff like that, you know, he basically has no social media. He doesn't have a Facebook. He has like a burner Twitter account or X account, or whatever you want to call it now. But he uses that basically just because I like post links for the stuff I do, and he likes to try to keep up with my work a little bit just to kind of know what's going on and know that I'm doing all right. And he texted me the next morning after Sean's match, and he was like, so he had seen clips of Sean wrestling, and just thought it was funny because he had no idea that Sean wrestled at all. So he was pretty surprised that he was wrestling at all, and I kind of explained to him that he doesn't do it often, obviously, but doesn't have a lot of these matches left in him, probably, at least from what Sean's told me kind of behind the scenes. Probably not a whole lot of matches left that he's going to be doing in his career. But as a fan and, you know, as a friend of his, I appreciate that he goes out there and does this. I think it's a good look for Fightful as well when he does, like, just for what it's worth. I think it's cool that people from, like, our Fightful community can get involved at all. Like, I think it's awesome when I see Kate doing, you know, commentary work. I thought it was cool that I got to do some commentary work for, like, you know, Championship District Wrestling and stuff like that. It's great when I see Jeremy in the crowd at indie shows, or I see pictures of, like, Jeremy and Joel, like, backstage with some indie guys, you know, some fans, people that we're fans of, or, like, you know, that might have, like, been on our shows and stuff like that. And, of course, Sean getting in there and actually wrestling, you know, it's cool being able to see the Fightful community involved, in my opinion. And Sean's our leader, you know what I mean? It is what it is. Yeah, I think he did a good job once again. So congrats, Sean, if you're listening to this. I appreciate what you do. I think that the match was very solid. And I mean, it was like 10 minutes long also. It wasn't like some short match. They had to go out there and figure stuff out on the fly, from what I understand, too. So yeah, check out. There was an interview actually here on Fightful Select. I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet, but I saw it was uploaded when it came on here. Mike from Indeed talking to Sean about the behind-the-scenes stuff for this match. So I'll check that out after I record this to get caught up myself. But Effie over Sean Rossap once again. And Effie had a big weekend. We'll be talking about that here in just a second as well. After that, we had Hoodfoot over Broski Jimmy. The finish of this one was a running lariat followed up by a backdrop driver by Hoodfoot to Jimmy for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Billy Starks over Rachel Armstrong. Billy gets the win after hitting a, it was like a package pile driver, but she had Rachel's arms crossed a bit different underneath her. It's kind of hard to explain, but it's like a double arm trap. It's what I'm going to describe sounds like a package pile driver, but it's like a double arm cross pile driver for the 3 count. After that, we had, oh, and by the way, before I move on, it's worth mentioning, for those of you who might not be familiar with Rachel Armstrong, it's kind of cool the connection here, because Billy Starks is the daughter of Mouse Robert Bellamy, who's, in my opinion, the best independent wrestling photographer in the game, and a friend of mine. I'm a fan of everything that Mouse does, and obviously with him being the dad of Billy, I've followed Billy's career pretty much from the start. And Mouse, like a year ago, was talking about how good Rachel Armstrong is. And it was around the time that Rachel won the SCI Future Showcase last year. Or, sorry, the Action Wrestling Future Showcase during SCI weekend, I should say. And it's just cool seeing this because I know that Billy and Rachel are friends. And because I've just seen like posts of them together and stuff like that. And Mouse, you know, once again, spoke really highly of Rachel when she really started getting on my radar more often. So seeing them wrestle one another is just cool. And Rachel's got a really, really bright future. Obviously, Billy is, in my opinion, Billy and Athena are the main reason to watch Ring of Honor. So, you know, like, Billy's killing it, and she'll be a massive household name. It's just a matter of time. Like, if she was on AEW right now, she'd be doing that. It's just a matter of, like, when they want to, you know, go that route with her. Or, you know, who knows how her career plays out. I don't want to, like, allude to anything. I don't know anything about anything. But whether it's on AEW television or it's on WWE television, I mean, one of those two companies, she is going to be a massive household name for a very long time on mainstream wrestling. Like, obviously, the talent's there. So, moving on. Next match we had was a tag team contest. This was One Called Manders and Too Tough Tony over the Rejects, the team of John Wade Murdoch and Reed Bentley. The finish of this one was Tony hitting a flaming punch onto John Wade Murdoch, and that is how it sounds. So basically, Manders takes Reed Bentley out of the match. Like, they're fighting on the outside, and Too Tough Tony lights his hand on fire and just punches JWM right in the head. 1, 2, 3. And this was nice, too, because a couple weeks ago, Zilla Fatu tried to light his thumb on fire to do his Superman Samoan Spike, and the thing didn't light, so that was kind of weak. You know, the match itself was great, but the finish, you know, we all wanted to see the flaming spike, and it didn't happen. So we got a nice flaming punch by Too Tough Tony in this one for their win over the Rejects. And the main event of the show, we had the GCW World title on the line. Mance Warner defends and retains over Myron Reed. The finish of this one was Myron running at Mance, Mance hitting him with a lariat, followed up by his Impaler DDT for the 1, 2, 3. We'll definitely be talking more about both of these guys throughout the results, but it made sense for Myron, if he was going to get a title shot over the weekend, that it was in Louisville. I know he's got a lot of history there in that region, and I've talked about it before. I was live at Glory Pro back in, this is like 2017 or 18 probably, and he was pretty new, and there was this whole situation. I've talked about it before on the show, but Myron accidentally wound up winning the Glory Pro Championship, the world title, and, like, by accidentally, it was something where, like, the ref counted 3 on accident. I can't exactly remember, but it was something like that. And I remember hearing, because I was interviewing a lot of the wrestlers for my Fight Talk podcast at the time, I remember people behind the scenes telling me, like, yeah, that wasn't supposed to happen, but Myron just had to become, like, a main event level guy immediately, and he's got the talent, and he's been killing it for years. He's the fourth Rascal. I hope, you know, the only downside to all of this was he was on GCW at the same time the other 3 Rascals were together on TNA. You know, it'd be cool to see all of them together soon, but that was a really good, solid GCW show to start off their 3-show weekend. Once again, that's Believe Me, and that is on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got more Triller TV Plus. GCW, this is so high. This is from Saugat, Illinois, from Pop's Nightclub, and this happened on July 19th, so this was Friday night. These are the results. Show started off with Los Desperados, the team of Arez and Gringo Loco. They defeat Bang and Matthews, August Matthews and Navy Bang, the former Bang Bros. The finish of this one was a base bomb by Gringo Loco onto Davey Bang, followed up by a top rope double stomp to Bang for the 1-2-3. Desperados get the win. Also, shout out to Gringo Loco, who on Saturday night was wrestling Hologram on AEW television. So that was a very pleasant surprise, considering Hologram being Aramis, and the two of them have wrestled each other a ton of times. And we've covered plenty of those matches right here on the weekend or so. Gringo, at some point, will go from the bridesmaid to the bride, if that makes sense. Like, he's the perfect guy to go in there and make everyone look incredible, because of how smooth he is. I've talked about it 1,000 times, and I've talked about it to him in person in interviews, that me and my brother always talk about how he's the smoothest wrestler in the game, and he takes that as, like, the highest level of compliment. And I think that eventually, I mean, he gets his flowers in GCW, and, you know, especially like the World on Lucha events and stuff like that, and really worldwide, but on AEW, because he's done some stuff with the Ring of Honor, obviously, but eventually I think like on AEW, he could be the guy who's getting spotlighted soon and the guy who's getting a push. And he got a really great reaction against Hologram as well, there live. So massive shout out to the homie Gringo Loco. After that, we had a hardcore match where Manders defeated Broski Jimmy. The finish here was a lariat followed up by a running power slam through a door in the corner. Manders gets the win there. And it makes sense with, you know, Manders' history with Mance Warner that they continue to build Manders strong before he eventually probably challenges Manders. Or sorry, Manders and Mance. The names are so close. I'm getting the two messed up. I'm so sorry. I think you know what I mean. Manders looks strong, and he will eventually most likely challenge Mance Warner for the GCW World title. It would have been cool to see him live this weekend also, because he was supposed to be at that Action Wrestling show, which is crazy because he wrestled Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, all for different GCW events in different cities, and then he was going to drive all the way to Atlanta and wrestle here last night, but once again, that got canceled because of the weather. But I've seen Manders wrestle live many, many times, and, you know, he's a real workhorse out there right now. He's wrestling just about more than anybody I can think of, and he's obviously the Action Wrestling World Champion right now as well, so I think it makes sense for Manders to be built strong right now, and I think that it would make perfect sense for Mance to eventually defend his title against Manders, probably sooner than later. After that, we had Glenna Del Mall over Jack Cartwheel. The finish of this one, I don't know what he calls it, but it's like a double underhook final reckoning, like that, like this, the twisting vertical suplex that Dustin Rhodes does, and basically like that. But it was set up in like the does Paige call it the Rampage, like where she sets people up like kind of on her hips before she does the DDT. It was like that set up into a double underhook final reckoning. It's the best way I can describe it. The only downside to this was another match where my brother was actually over and watching with me. And my brother's a big Jack Cartwheel fan. And when Del Mall won, he was like, what the hell? Jack Cartwheel did everything. This guy does like one move and beats him. And I was like, kind of. This is kind of how it works sometimes. But yeah, Mall over Cartwheel there. After that, we had Zilla Thaw 2 over Sam Stackhouse. The finish here was the running Superman spike by Zilla for the 1-2-3. This is probably pretty cool for Sam. I don't know what his relationship with Zilla is, but I know that Sam and Jacob Fatu are very close in real life. They're good buddies. So I'd imagine by association that Stackhouse and Zilla are friendly, I would guess. I mean, there's no way to know that, but it's just one of those things where like, it just, in my own personal life and my own personal experience, you know, me and my brother have a lot of the same friends. Like, if you're cool with my brother, you're automatically cool with me. And I'd imagine that probably how it works in a lot of situations, especially in wrestling, when, you know, you see it's a small fraternity of people, you know what I mean? And, you know, I feel like if Jacob Fatu and Sam Stackhouse are tight, there'd be no reason that, you know, Zilla and Stackhouse wouldn't be friends as well, you know what I mean? So it's probably cool the two of them getting to have this match, especially because who knows how long Zilla will be on the indies for. You know, do I necessarily think he should be on WWE programming right away? Not necessarily, but that doesn't mean that he wouldn't be able to. Like, if the story was right, they need more members in the Bloodline story and stuff, he'd be able to go in there and do it probably, like, right now. But we'll see how his career trajectory continues on the independent scene before that. After that, we had Sidney Akeem over Myron Reed. The finish of this one was Akeem doing his double back handspring cutter onto Reed for the 1-2-3. During this match, it was another funny thing that my brother had mentioned, because he was watching this match and he said, man, both these guys are like almost too good for this. And I know he didn't mean that as like a diss to GCW, because he's watched a lot of GCW with me. But the way that Akeem and Myron were moving, there was just a level of athleticism there where he was like, why aren't these guys on TV? And I told him, I was like, oh, Sidney Akeem was in WWE before. And my brother was like, because my brother watches occasional WWE with me, and he was like, wait a second. He was like, wait, the guy that was wrestling the women? And I was like, Yeah, I forgot about that. I was like, yeah, Reggie. Yeah, because my brother was completely unaware of Scripps. He didn't know anything about that gimmick at all. So my brother was like, this is the guy who was just in there, like, not doing anything? And I was like, yeah, he's pretty damn good, right? So just kind of funny there. Once again, Akeem with the win over Myron Reed with that double back handspring cutter. They call that the final act. After that, we had Cole Radrick and Effie over the Rejects, John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley. The finish of this one was a sack rider by Effie to JWM for the 1-2-3. After the match, two masked men jump Effie and Cole, and I didn't mention, but they've been showing some video packages like leading up to this of two masked men that looked like they were kind of like stalking Effie and Alley Catch, and those same men are the ones who attack Effie and Cole after this match. Manders makes the save to fight them off, and this leads to Raj Desi, who is, of course, the former Jinder Mahal. Raj Desi gets in the ring, attacks Effie, and we'll talk a little bit more about that because there was more on the next show, you know, involving them. After that, we had a five-way scramble match where Hunter Drake defeats Bobby Flacco, Kamara Jackson, Ken Broadway, and Morgan Dash. The finish here was Hunter Drake basing on the back of Jackson. So he's like standing on the back of Jackson and then jumps up and floats right into a code red. I've seen him do this move a handful of times. It looks very impressive when he pulls it off. It is, once again, he calls it the Purple Haze, which is a little confusing because I'm a longtime fan of his. I've been following his work a long time. He used to call the Purple Haze the 450 Splash off the top, so went through a name change there, but it's all good. Every now and then that happens and it throws me off, like when Dean Ambrose, for instance, changed the Dirty Deeds from the Headlock Driver to the Double Arm DDT without any explanation, you know, stuff like that, but not necessarily mad about it or anything. It's just something to note that the Purple Haze is now the backstand code red rather than the 450. After that, we had Megan Bain over Shane Mercer. Finish here was a spear followed up by a tombstone pile driver for the 1-2-3. The Megasys comes out of this match still undefeated in GCW, heading into her title shot on the next show. And then the main event, we had the GCW world title on the line. Mance Warner defends and retains over Hoodfoot. The finish here was Jimmy Lloyd getting in the ring. He hits Hoodfoot in the back with a bundle of tubes. And that basically clears it up to where Mance eventually hits a dick kick to Hoodfoot and then choke slams him through a glass pane that was leaned up against a chair, follows up with his impaler DDT, 1-2-3. Another solid title defense for Mance Warner. I've always been a longtime Hoodfoot fan. I remember back when he was basically, I think, just called No Atlas at the time. I think... even pre-Hoodfoot. I remember when Hoodfoot used to walk out with, like, the do-rag that was, like, comically huge. Like, it would be... it was so funny. It was like, I've never seen something like this before. It was, like, a do-rag, but, like, a cape on the back of it that, like, extended all the way down to the ground. Like, almost like a wedding dress. Like, the thing was just, like, this do-rag that was just humongous. I've just never seen it before. And I'll never forget it, but I remember when he got on my radar through shows like Paradigm Pro and stuff, like doing UWFI style rules matches. But ever since hitting the deathmatch scene a few years ago, like a couple years ago, he skyrocketed, and I think he's just a super versatile performer and a guy who I think could have a real career really on any level. I mean, I'm super entertained by his work and have been for a long time. He could be utilized even better in GCW, in my opinion. Although he is basically a top guy when he's there, I feel like they could use him probably more often on their shows. And if he were ever get in front of like a mainstream audience with the right push and the right gimmick, I think he could be huge. So, shout out to Hoodfoot. I thought he had a good weekend. And once again, Mance Warner retains there. Moving on, next set of results we have is GCW, Don't Tell Me What to Do. This was from Indianapolis, Indiana, from the Marriott East. And this is from July 20th. That was on Saturday night. Also available on Triller TV Plus. Show started off with Bang and Matthews, August Matthews, Davey Bang, over Bobby Flacco and Hunter Drake. The finish of this one was the Ride the Bus, the double team rolling spear, followed up a 450 splash by Davey Bang onto Hunter Drake for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Myron Reed over Jack Cartwheel. The finish here was the Matrix Cutter Flame On, followed up by a Captain Crunch, Myron's version of a jumping air raid crash for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the Rejects, John Wayne Murdoch and Reed Bentley, defeating One Called Manders and Cole Radrick. The finish here was JWM kicking the middle rope when Cole's trying to enter the ring. The rope goes right into Cole's dick, and then he follows up with a schoolboy roll-up, grabs the tights, 1-2-3. JWM and Reed Bentley get the win here, and they need wins. I mean, I feel like the Rejects should be one of the more upper-tier consistent tag teams in GCW. But once again, Cole taking more L's, he gets pinned in this one. But once again, Manders, I feel like, is heading towards a title match too. So, you know, I'm fine with people winning and losing matches, of course, but just interesting because I feel like everyone involved in this one needs to be winning. After that, we had, this was a no contest. We had Noctis and Dex Royal and Morgan Dash and Rachel Armstrong in a four-way match. But basically what winds up happening is Raj Deji comes out and just attacks and destroys everybody in the ring and causes the no contest. What's more important about this is afterwards, Matt Cardona comes out on the microphone. He, of course, is still the general manager of GCW. He basically talks about how he's signing real superstars like the former Jinder Mahal. Deji is talking about how, you know, he's a real former world champion. And basically they're acting like they're better than everybody because they come from the WWE. Cardona, this eventually leads to Effie coming out, and he wants a match with Deji right now on the spot. But Cardona won't grant him that match tonight, but he does say that on August 2nd, we're going to get Effie versus Raj Deji. So, we'll see how that goes. I know that Effie, you know, he mentioned it during his promo during this, you know, guys like Jeff Jarrett, when they come to GCW, they wrestle him. You know what I mean? And he's kind of the measuring stick of these outside performers. And Effie has a different type. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he said as much on his podcast and stuff. Like, and I'm not saying that Jinder Mahal necessarily falls into this category, but Effie's not the type of person who, like, is going to respect you just because you've been on television. That's also someone's spot who's making towns, that's working their asses off to make a name for themselves, to eventually hopefully make it on a bigger stage. You know what I mean? Like, and that's, we're not even hopefully making it on a bigger stage in every case. I think that, once again, I don't want to put words in people's mouths, but I've heard Effie talk plenty about how he has no desire to sign a contract with anybody. Like, he's doing great on his own, being his own boss. And there's plenty of other people that are in that same boat too. So, it's an interesting dynamic, but it makes sense that it's Effie and Mahal. After that, we had a tag team match where Blake Christian and Shane Mercer defeated Effie and Joey Janela. The finish of this one was Raj coming back out, and he puts Effie in a Cobra. Oh, I forgot to mention. So before this match started, coming right out of the promo with Cardona, Raj, and Effie, Blake Christian and Shane Mercer attacked Effie, and Joey came out, and their tag team match started right there on the spot. But because these matches are no DQ, when GCW wants them to be, there's not really any real set rules when it comes to, like, any of this stuff. But, you know, that's part of the charm of Game Changer Wrestling at the end of the day. We had Raj come back out, puts Effie in a Cobra Clutch on the ring apron, throws him towards Blake Christian. Blake hits him with a knee to the head, falls off by a curb stomp, 1-2-3. Blake Christian pins Effie. After that, we had Galeno Del Mal over Arez. The finish of this one was a second rope double underhook. The Dustin move I was talking about earlier, the double underhook final reckoning from the second rope this time, from Maul onto Arez for the 1-2-3. After that, we had Zilla Fatu over Hoodfoot. The finish of this one was Zilla hitting two Superman spikes on Hoodfoot for the 1-2-3. This match, these guys, like, at least towards the end, it didn't feel like things were clicking how they probably should have, considering, you know, how good both these guys are and how over both these guys were. But you could also tell that the crowd really wanted Hoodfoot to win, and that it kind of deflated the crowd when Zilla got the W, because they're trying to put Zilla as like a big-time babyface, but also depending on where you go, Hoodfoot's going to be really over in front of a lot of these crowds already. So I think that's kind of what happened there. After that, we had Nate Webb over Broski Jimmy. Spider Nate Webb gets the win after hitting a moonsault off the top of a ladder for the 1-2-3. After the match, a whole bunch of fans get in the ring and celebrate, and they all sing Teenage Dirtbag because they didn't get to do it before the match because they got cut off. And the main event of the show, we have the GCW World title on the line. Mance Warner defends and retains over the undefeated Megasis, Megan Bain. This is Megan's first loss in Game Changer Wrestling. The finish here was Megan hitting a tombstone piledriver, and looks like she's got Mance dead to rights, but Jimmy Lloyd pulls the referee out of the ring at two, so he can't count to three. Jimmy gets up onto the ring apron and distracts Megan, and as this is happening, Mance Warner does a schoolboy roll-up, gets his feet up on the top rope for extra leverage. Dirty pin, 1-2-3. Mance Warner barely gets out of there once again. Still your Game Changer Wrestling World Champion. Once again, all those GCW events are available over on Triller TV Plus. Moving on, got results for West Coast Pro, DPW, and Prestige. This is a triple joint show called Untouchable. This was from San Francisco, California, in the United Irish Cultural Center, and this is available for free on the West Coast Pro YouTube channel. These are the results. Show took place, by the way, on July 20th, which was on Friday night. We had AlphaZo over, let me double check something, sorry. Yeah, sorry, Saturday. Sorry, this was a Saturday night show. I'm not sure if I said Friday or Saturday. I just had to double check my calendar. We had AlphaZo over Alex Shelley. Finish of this one was a lariat by Zo for the 1-2-3. A huge win for AlphaZo over a legit legend of wrestling, especially on an independent, like basically a non-WWE, non-AEW. Like, if you're talking anything outside of those two companies, some of the best wrestlers of all time, Alex Shelley is going to be up there as a singles wrestler and as a tag team wrestler. Huge win for AlphaZo, once again, with the lariat. After that, we had the West Coast Pro Heavyweight title on the line. Kevin Blackwood defends and retains over Beef. The finish here was a Helluva kick followed up by a top rope double stomp for the 1-2-3. Nice title defense for Blackwood here. This one went like 15 minutes long. Blackwood's super talented. You know, we've seen him pop up here and there on some mainstream shows as well, but, you know, doing great work over there on the West Coast and really everywhere that he pops up, but especially West Coast Pro right now. And Beef, I mean, I remember him back when he was Gnarls Garvin, back before he was even known as Beef or Big Beef. I knew him as Jake Garvin, I think, before he was even Gnarls Garvin. But I love all the work he's been doing. Another guy who, like, I think he had like a short MLW run, but he's another guy who just needs to get in front of more people because he gets over in front of every crowd he wrestles in. After that, we had Sandra Moon over Zara Zacher. The finish of this one was Moon hitting the Moon's Landing, which is like her doctor bomb to the side for the 1-2-3. After that, we had DPW National Championship on the line. Adam Priest defends and retains over Vinny Massaro. Any Style, Adam Priest was a recent guest on the Spotlight on Fightful. If you want to check that interview out, it was actually the most recent episode over there on Fightful's YouTube channel. This week, we plan on having Jameson Shook on the show for an interview, who won the Action's Future Showcase tournament the same weekend that Adam Priest won SCI. Coincidentally enough, the same weekend that Adam Priest won SCI, they aired on tape delay him winning the DPW National Championship. So, huge weekend for Adam Priest last weekend. Falls up the momentum, getting the win over Vinny Massaro here. The finish was a chop block to the injured leg of Massaro by Priest, and then he locks in a half crab, forcing Massaro to tap out. Next, we have the DPW World's title on the line. Calvin Tankman defends and retains over Jaya Jewel. The finish here was Tankman hitting the GF driver for the 1-2-3. The GF driver is basically like a straight jacket pile driver. So he traps both your arms like across your body. Really nasty looking finishing move. And Tankman is all very similar to Hoodfoot. Like I've seen him in all these different scenarios throughout his career, whether it's like UWFI style or like a hardcore style. I've said it 1,000 times that I think Calvin Tankman should have been the G, or not the, well, he could do more in GCW as well, but I thought he should have been the MLW world champion while he was there. Had some really good matches against guys like Hammerstone and Fatu at like the top of that card, in that company. But I always like the Tankman driver too, the Rikishi driver, but got great moves. Got, does the hidden blade, you know, so nasty move set. Tankman's another guy who I just feel like could be a really big deal on, you know, a larger company. I, you know, if you were in Impact, for instance, which we'll talk about Impact here in a second with the spoilers, but if you were in Impact, he would probably become one of the top guys, or at least have the potential to do it a lot faster, like pretty much right away, I feel like, with his talent and how different he is with his look and his abilities and his athleticism and stuff. Like, I just feel like Tankman could do great in a company like Impact. And if he was in something like NXT, I think he would have a lot of eyes on him, like really, really quick. And I think he would really rise to the occasion. Like, he'd have some bangers with some of the people there. AEW, he'd have plenty of options as far as great matches, Ring of Honor and stuff. Like, I just feel like the sky's the limit still for Tankman. After that, we had the West Coast Pro tag team titles on the line. Los Suavecitos, the team of Danny Rose and Ricky G, along with Adrian Quest on the outside. They defend and retain their tag titles over the Krusty Krew, the team of Alonzo Alvarez and Lucas Riley. The finish of this one was a belly-to-back and top rope double stomp combo by Los Suavecitos for the 1-2-3 to retain. After that, we had Aaron Solo over Jaguar Montoya. The finish here was... Oh, you know what? I think I missed the finish of this one, actually. Oh, you know what? This match was super fast. Aaron Solo won in like a minute, and I honestly can't even remember. It was super fast. I completely forgot this even happened. After that, we had the Prestige title on the line. Starboy Charlie wins the title over Allen Angels. The finish here was a Van Damminator. So, you know, he does like the spinning heel kick chair right into the head of Allen Angels, Rob Van Dam style. So Van Damminator followed up by a shooting star press off the top rope for Starboy Charlie to become the new Prestige champion. And the main event of the show, we had Shelton Benjamin defeating Titus Alexander. The finish here was Alexander hitting an enziguri and then running towards Shelton to capitalize, but Shelton counters and hits him with the pay dirt for the 1-2-3. After the match, Los Suavecitos come in and they attack everyone. Starboy Charlie's mom comes out for the save, and she winds up getting laid out by a baseball bat. Eventually, Levi Shapiro and Chris Hero come out to make the save for the baby faces. So, really good show here, that this joint show by West Coast Pro, DPW, and Prestige. And, you know, that main event there, it's cool to see Shelton Benjamin getting more out there, doing more stuff on the indie scene. I know there's a lot of speculation right now about the Hurt Business reforming and possibly showing up in AEW. I think that'd be pretty cool. As a longtime Shelton fan, like, that'd be cool to see. I mean, I feel like the Hurt Business, they left a lot of money on the table with, you know, the way that they cut that short. They cut that super premature off WWE TV. That group was really working, and I don't know what happened there. I guess Vince, at the end of the day, is what happened. I don't know. But and then Titus Alexander, of course, a lot of people compare him to AJ Styles, and it's a huge comparison to make, but it's accurate. I mean, he's got a lot of AJ's qualities, and y'all know me. I consider AJ to be one of the GOATs, like one of the legit GOATs of pro wrestling history. Titus is one of those guys. He's really just a matter of time. He's a guy who, like, in NXT, he'd be on my household name, like, immediately. But once again, I'm thinking, like, bigger picture stuff. He's killing it on the indies, and I hope he goes at his own pace and he gets what he wants out of wrestling. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, Titus Alexander, super, super talented. Me and Jeremy interviewed him, like, years ago already at this point for the Spotlight. We should probably try to catch up with him soon. But yeah, once again, Shelton Benjamin over Titus Alexander, the main event of West Coast Pro, Prestige, and DPW, Untouchable. Once again, for free, if you want to check it out, over on the West Coast Pro YouTube. All right, spoiler alert, spoiler alert. We got spoilers for Impact Wrestling. I am putting the timestamps in there in the description below. We're going to talk TNA Impact Wrestling. If you want to remain spoiler-free, go ahead and skip to the timestamps below. These are going to be spoilers from Joel Pearl, and I'm going to read exactly how he wrote them to me. So you're going to get not just the winners and losers, you're going to get some extra notes as well. So spoiler alert, they are coming to you right now. Impact spoilers for TNA 3-2-1. I got some Explosion spoilers as well. So, we got Explosion. Once again, by the way, I want to give credit where it's due. Joel Pearl, these are his spoilers. These are his notes. I'm reading them verbatim from what he DM'd me after the event. We had Explosion. Rich Swann over Reverso. It says AJ Francis was on commentary. TNA Impact Show 1. Nick Nemeth promo. Says he'll be a fighting champion, will defend it on any wrestling company. Mustafa Ali comes out, calls his loss the biggest screw job in wrestling history. Ali announces his candidacy for a world title and wants to make it great again. Nemeth says he'll face Ali tonight. Ali says next week they fight. We had Steve Macklin over Cody Deaner. Macklin cuts a promo pre-match and gets heat. Deaner cuts a promo and gets a babyface reaction. AJ Francis with Rich Swann and Josh Bishop once again, or I should say once again, I gave him a shout out during the post-show review. Once again, the post-show review for Slammiversary is over on the Fightful YouTube channel, me, Joel, and Cresta. But I gave him a shout out then, I'll give him a shout out now. Shout out to the homie Josh Bishop. I've talked about it for years, about how he just needs to get in front of more people. He got in front of some more people in MLW recently. Impact is a nice, or TNA rather, is a nice step in the right direction, I think. And they can make him a killer on that show pretty much right off the bat. I mean, he looked like a killer with what he was doing to PCO out there during Slammiversary, helping out AJ Francis. So I think the sky is the absolute limit for Bishop. If you want more thoughts on him, basically just listen to any episode of this show. And I've done multiple interviews with the guy. I talked about him during the post-show for Slammiversary. So massive shout-out to Josh Bishop. AJ Francis defeats Sami Callihan. It says, Swann distracts the referee. Bishop clotheslines Callihan, allowing Francis to chokeslam Callihan for the win. After that, we had Hammerstone and Ash by Elegance over Eric Young and Jordan Grace. His Josh Alexander promo, he has new music. He tells the crowd he can't wait to go back to Toronto, then drops the mic when he was about to explain his actions at Slammiversary. So a lot going on in those two results there. Hammerstone, Ash, Young, and Jordan Grace, that was all set up on Slammiversary. Heading into the show, they made the tag team match during that event in like a backstage segment based on the results of the matches earlier in the night. And Josh Alexander made a massive heel turn during the main event, the six-way match for the TNA Championship at the end of Slammiversary. And I was talking about it on the post-show about how they're in this unique position right now where they're having a relationship, TNA and NXT. Now that Josh Alexander's a heel, it's not the worst idea. Now, I get it. Joe Hendry is who people wanted. Joe Hendry is who I picked for my predictions. I understand. But they have a unique opportunity here, potentially. If Josh Alexander wins the TNA championship and Ethan Page is the NXT champion, you have the North running both shows and you can have a two-man power trip on both shows. I think that's a pretty sweet idea and it just kind of a really unique opportunity they could go with. More spoilers here from Joel. We had ABC and Matt Hardy over Brian Myers, Edwards, and JDC with Alicia Edwards. He says Alicia Edwards. Some notes here. Moose came out in the middle of the match. Hendry, even the odds at ringside, and Bay pinned JDC. We had the wedding of PCO and Seth DeLander. Some notes here. Santino officiates the wedding. Rhino came out in his wrestling gear and a tie. That's pretty funny. Zaya Brookside is a bridesmaid or maid of honor with a black dress and a black bouquet. PCO has an entrance involving a large wooden throne and sparks. SDL is wearing a white dress with her hair up like Elvira. PCO and SDL read their own vows. AJ Francis interrupts but just wants to witness. Matt Cardona returns, tries to stop the wedding to take SDL, but she doesn't want to go. And Joel called a good chunk of that with Matt Cardona returning on the post-show, by the way. We have more spoilers here. Explosion Show 2, we had Tasha Steeles over Giselle Shaw. Then the actual next Impact taping, we had the Rascals, the team of Trey Miguel, Zach Wentz, and Wes Lee over Kushida, Trent Seven, and Speedball Mike Bailey, a.k.a. Speedball Mountain. It says Wentz pinned to Trent Seven. We had Rosemary over Kristara. It says there's a new theme song for Rosemary. Josh Alexander promo refuses to come out, so Gia Miller asks him backstage about his actions. Alexander is looking at himself, or sorry, looking after himself from now on. And Ryan Nemeth walks by as Josh is finishing the promo. Frankie Kazarian defeats Ryan Nemeth. Josh Alexander rocks out after the match and beats down Ryan Nemeth. Gia Miller interviews Joe Hendry on the stage. We had Jody Threat, along with Danny Luna, over Masha Slamovich, along with Alicia Edwards. It says Alicia set up the tag title belt in the turnbuckle, but Masha ended up running into it, leading to the finish. That's kind of like a throwback to the way that they wound up successfully retaining their Knockouts tag titles on the post-show, or sorry, the pre-show of Slammiversary. We had Mike Santana over Campaign Singh. Santana cuts a promo post-match on Moose and the System, says he wants to be TNA champion. Joel called that as well. He said that Santana looked like he was next up for a while, the TNA title, or at least for a shot at the TNA title. And we got a TNA world title match, speaking of the belt. We had Nick Nemeth defend and retain over Mustafa Ali. Notes that it was a competitive match with a clean finish. Post-match, Josh Alexander watches from the stage. Then we have a dark match. It's a casket match where PCO defeats Moose. So that is the spoilers for TNA. Once again, thank you very much to Joel Pearl for those. And I'm going to update the timestamps so I don't forget to do that right now. All right, moving on. Got more results for y'all. This is NWA Power. This is the Crockett Cup Finals. And these are available to watch over on the CW website or app. This is from... It aired on July 16th, but it was really taped, I want to say, in like the middle of May. Show started off with the NWA World Women's Tag Team titles on the line. The King Bees, the team of Charity King and Danny B, defeat Rekha Tahaka and Tiffany Neves. The finish of this one was the King's Kiss, a.k.a. the World's Strongest Slam, for the 1-2-3. After that, we had the NWA World Heavyweight title on the line. EC3 defends and retains over Sam Adonis. The finish here was EC3 reversing a fireman's carry and kicking the knee out from Sam Adonis to put him onto one knee. Hits him with the one percenter, the bulldog driver, and then follows up with a move that commentary did not know the name of. They were very surprised and confused. But it was essentially an Angel's Wings, a Christopher Daniels style, double underhook, sit out pedigree, basically, for the 1-2-3. EC3 defends and retains his NWA World Heavyweight Championship over Sam Adonis. And the main event of the show, the Crockett Cup 2024 final, we had the Southern Six, the team of Alex Taylor and Kerry Morton, along with Ricky Morton in their corner. They defeat the Immortals, the team of Odinson and Kratos. The finish here was, I'll do my best to explain this. So, basically, Odinson has Taylor up on his shoulders in an electric chair, and he's kind of, like, got both guys in control for a second. He kind of pushes Kerry Morton out of the way, and Morton runs into the referee. With the referee distracted for, like, half a second, Kerry Morton does a dick kick to Odinson, who still has Taylor up on his shoulders in the electric chair position, and that leads to Taylor doing a victory roll from the shoulders of Odinson down to the ground. 1-2-3. Alex Taylor pins Odinson, and the Southern Six are your 2024 Crockett Cup winners. They celebrate after the match to end the show, and you know it is what it is. Like, as a fan, I think that it would be way better off if the NWA still did the Crockett Cup as like a one-night or a two-night tournament that we got to just watch on, you know, YouTube. Or it has to be the CW. The CW is fine, but it was better as just like one event than pre-taping 2 months in advance. And I just feel like this tournament had way less buzz than it probably should have for being, you know, an annual event for the company that, in my opinion, has been better in recent years than it was this year for that exact reason. So, once again, that's the Crockett Cup. Moving on, we have some quick results for NXT Level Up. This show aired on July 19th. I watched it on Hulu, so that's where I recommend you check it out. We had three matches a backstage interview and a backstage kind of, or not a backstage segment, but like a segment from the PC. So they're getting a little more like diverse in the presentation of Level Up recently. Most of the time up to this point had been either two or three matches, usually three, and then like one quick interview segment. But I'll explain how they're kind of evolving as we go through this one. So opening match, we had Jakara Jackson over Kendall Gray. Finish of this one was the Sugar Rush by Jackson and Gray for the three count. The Sugar Rush, if you don't know, it's basically like a running Famaster. It's pretty similar to like how Kenny Omega does that, like running, jumping. He does more of like he almost kind of does like a face smash, because he kind of grabs you by the head on his way down. But this was more of like a running Famaster from behind for the 1-2-3. Jakara Jackson with the win there. After that, we had Adriana Rizzo over Lainey Reid. Actually, you know what? There was a segment before that. Let me go through that first. So we were in the Performance Center, and this is what I'm talking about with some differences. So in the Performance Center, we see Uriah Connors talking to Dion Lennox, and basically, like they teamed last week and they lost, and Connors is blaming Lennox for the loss because he wouldn't basically follow along his plans to get, you know, do anything to win, and he calls Lennox a loser. And they're about to get into it, but Hank and Tank, who are training in the ring, stop anything from happening. But, you know, this was a Performance Center segment continuing to push a storyline, and you can tell there's something brewing, you know, as far as a match between Uriah Connors and Dion Lennox. So, you know, I like all that as far as storyline progression goes. The next match we had was Adriana Rizzo over Lainey Reid. The finish of this one was, I think she calls it the Risotto. But basically it's like a seated molly go round. So Lainey's on the ground, basically sitting up, and Rizzo does a front flip, whoopee cushion to the chest of Reid to get the 1-2-3. After that, we have another segment where they're in the locker room. Kendall Gray, who had lost earlier in the night, is talking to Carly, who they've teamed and been friends a little bit lately. Basically, Kendall is bummed out that she keeps losing because she hates losing. She was a winner in college. She was a collegiate wrestler. And basically, Carly is going to help her train so that they can, you know, both be winners together. And the main event of the show, we had Eddie Thorpe over Shiloh Hill. We had Alexis King on commentary for this one because he is currently in a rivalry with Eddie Thorpe. The finish here was Thorpe hitting an Impaler DDT for the 1-2-3, and he gets the pin while he's looking, and hits the move and gets the pin while he's looking directly at King on commentary. After the match, the two of them are eyeing each other. Thorpe's in the ring, and King's still down by commentary, and a bunch of officials, like referees, come out, stand between the two so they can't fight one another. So another really solid episode of NXT Level Up, and as I said, the show continues to evolve from just matches to now where there's more storyline progression and stuff that is going to carry over more onto like the main NXT show. Last but not least, got some quick spoilers for y'all for Ring of Honor. So spoiler alert. If you do not want Ring of Honor, Honor Club spoilers, go ahead and you can turn the show off now. I appreciate y'all for listening. Please hit the like button here on Fightful Select before you leave. And if you want the spoilers, they're coming to you in 3, 2, 1. Here are ROH spoilers. They are courtesy of Matthew Hooks, so thank you, Matthew. I'm reading them via Fightful.com. These were taped on July 20th, once again, for upcoming episodes of Ring of Honor Honor Club. This is from Arlington, Texas. The results are as follows. We have EJ Anduka over John Cruz. Blackpool Combat Club combination of Wheeler Yuta and Claudio Castagnoli over Shane Taylor Promotions team of Anthony Agogo and Lee Moriarty. We had Abaddon over Dulce Tormenta. Jail over Robin Renegade. We had the Gates of Agony, the team of Khan and Toliona, over SAP, the team of Angelico and Serpentico. We got Johnny TV and Shane Taylor over Atlantis Jr. and Leo Rush. We got Fuego del Sol, Commander, and Top Flight, the team of Action Andretti, Dante Martin, and Darius Martin, over Nick Camarado, Anthony Henry, and the Iron Savages, the trio of Jack Jameson, Boulder, and Bronson. Shout out to the homie Jack Jameson. And I've been saying, I said it the second that Action Andretti debuted in AEW, by the way. Y'all can go back and find old podcasts that I had done. I know for sure on a podcast I had done with Doug, I talked about this for sure. But I distinctly remember, I vividly remember saying, the second I saw Action Andretti, he came out, he beat Chris Jericho. And then when I realized he was actually going to be sticking around in AEW, I was like, I promise you, he'll get teamed up with Top Flight. The similarities are right there. Like, the way that these guys wrestle and their vibe and everything, they're perfect as a trio, I think. Especially because, and I hate to say it, but, like, Top Flight, obviously, they've had a lot of injury issues over the years and stuff. So, anyway, I just saw them as a perfect mix. And I know that they've teamed together for a long time now, but it's just worth highlighting that I want to see more of them as, like, a trio. And, you know, I don't care about the AEW Trios titles at all, to be completely honest, but I'd like to see matches of them doing Trios matches against other really talented teams. And speaking of talented, I mean, Anthony Henry's been one of the best in-ring wrestlers for a while. And he definitely didn't get a fair shake in WWE. He was there super briefly as a, oh my gosh, I'm forgetting his WWE name. Anthony Henry was Asher Hale. Been one of the best guys, especially in the Southeast for a long time. And Iron Savages have been grinding for a long time. And y'all know that Jack Jameson, AKA Jameson, just Jack Jameson now, but Jameson Ryan is, you know, formerly, he's meant a lot to me and some of the stuff I've been able to do, you know, on the indie scene. And, you know, he's a lot of friends of friends and stuff like that. So I'm always pulling for that guy. We also had the last match here is the Von Erichs, the team of Ross and Marshall Von Erich. They defeat Dark Order, the combination of John Silver and Alex Reynolds. It says Dark Order attacked after the match, but Dustin Rhodes made the save. So that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to hit the like button here on FightfulSelect.com. Please follow me on X at FightTalk _. That's FightTalk _. Use code FightTalk, all as one word, no spaces, over on independentwrestling.tv. And watch the spotlight every Thursday morning, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time. So 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time over on Fightful.com and on YouTube.com/Fightful. It's been a long day. It's been a long weekend. I'm out of here. Till next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling.